I have come to treasure this part of this platform. It's very sacred to me personally. This is sacred to me right here. June 19th, I lay prostrate on this floor while the litany was prayed over and around and above me and all that good stuff. The following day, I stood here because of the COVID. I couldn't be out in the center aisle. And I proclaimed the Holy Gospel for the first time as an ordained deacon. So this is sacred. On Sunday, I lay here again and had that litany again, beautifully sung. And so I thought this would be the spot to preach my first sermon as an ordained priest. And after hearing Bishop Robinson on Sunday saying, don't get up there and look down on people, I've kind of taken it to heart, at least for today. So, a deep breath. A young boy's dream has become a reality. A young boy who played mass in the basement of the house where he grew up in, who wore a heavy plastic vestment that his Aunt Julia bought him, and had an altar that his grandfather built for him. And he tried to consecrate Necco wafers and cherry Kool-Aid, is now an ordained priest. Wow. So I'm here to bring some good news. And it's certainly good news for me, and I even consider it great news that I want to share with you. God is patient. God is persistent. God is always present. God is patient. God is persistent. God is always present. Will you say that with me? God is patient. God is persistent. God is always present. God has been patient with me for 65 years, waiting for me to finally say, yes, Lord, I will serve you and your people. Waiting very patiently, and I am grateful for that. God is persistent. In those decades, God never gave up on me. God always knew what the plan was supposed to be. And even though I would go different directions and move around the country and take different careers and different relationships and everybody that gathered around me, God was persistent in pursuing me and giving me the little nudges and keeping me focused and staying on the path. And then God is ever present. God has never left my side. God will never leave your side. There have been times when I have doubted, just like Thomas. There have been times when I have felt abandoned and God has walked away from me. But I didn't want to believe that. And my faith kept me going. You know, we can look at my summer of hell 2010, when my world was turned upside down. And many of you were there to support me. But the Lord was also there to support me. And then in 2012, God said, you know what? There's other ways. And he picked me up and pulled me out of the Roman church and brought me here. The rest is history, as we say. But God was always with me, showing me the way. And then in 2014, God said, you know, serving and ministering to older adults is good, but I think we can do more. And see, so he pulled me from a career that I thought I was going to retire with and end it all. But no, he goes, God says, you're going to do some teaching, you're going to do some consulting, you're going to do some studying and grow closer to me and to the church. And God has been with me every step of the way. So I am a firm believer in God's presence. We talk about Thomas today, who is the doubter. You get that bad rap. Thomas wanted to believe, but he needed to see evidence. And Jesus showed him that evidence. I draw a parallel in some ways to Thomas. I was a doubter. And I'm sure some of you out there were doubters that this day would ever come. Right? But here it is. So we have to believe, just as Thomas believed. Over the past several weeks, I have spent many sleepless hours in the middle of the night, reflecting, reminiscing, going down memory lane, trying to connect all the dots and how I got here. And many of you have been a major part of that. And it's been incredible to think back 65 years, or probably 60 when I could really start remembering. But it's been a phenomenal journey. And wow. There's someone in particular that I remember from 1965 in spring. She's a Catholic nun, and she taught a catechism class that I attended on Wednesdays after school. I do not remember her name. Shame on me. But she was a little short nun, kind of roly-poly, in a black or a brown habit, wore wire-rimmed glasses, as nuns looked back in those days. And she was preparing my First Communion class to be ready to receive our First Holy Communion, May 2nd, 1965. And she told us quite a few things, but I only remember one thing. She said, when the priest goes to raise and elevate the host, gaze lovingly upon it, and say silently to yourself, my Lord and my God. And likewise, when the priest raises the chalice, gaze lovingly and silently say to yourself, my Lord and my God. This is what we heard Thomas say this morning. When he saw Jesus, he believed. And he confessed, he made a testimony that that was his Lord and God. And that's what Sister was trying to teach us kids, that when we see the host and the cup raised, there is Jesus. There is our Lord and our God. And the reason I remember this is because I have said that phrase every Mass I've ever attended. When the priest raises the bread or the wine, I am saying, my Lord and my God. It's always on my lips. It's interesting how things have worked out, that I was ordained here in this amazing cathedral. And it is dressed in its finest greenery for Christmas, my favorite holiday, right? And it's interesting that we have the Feast of St. Thomas today. when "My Lord and my God" is recited, and it's something that's so important to me. It's not coincidence, my friends. It's God having a part in my life and God having a part in your life. Now, my journey, unique to me. But each of you have your own unique story and journey and relationship with God. And so as Jesus told Thomas, believe. Even though it may seem doubtful, believe. And that is my wish for you today, my prayer for you today. Believe. Know that Jesus is always at your side. Amen.